Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, emperors, plastic bottles, and a heroic marathon effort. Right, to try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by newshound Sam Turton.
Hello.
And distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Right, the three regular listeners amongst you will notice that we're a woman down this week, aren't we, Katie?
Yes, we are. Jess is not with us.
The butcherer of languages is not here, is she?
She's on holiday.
Well, I think she's
gone to a wedding.
Yeah, it's holiday.
It's not a holiday.
It is.
Weddings aren't a holiday.
Sunny Newcastle. Holiday time.
Sunny Newcastle.
I bet it's sunnier than here.
I can't wait to hear her take on the Geordie accent next week. So
ask her if she knows who Jimmy Nail is.
I am a big Jimmy Nail fan. You well know, Katie. Yeah. I can give you many fun facts about Jimmy Nail starting that. Did you know Jimmy Nail isn't actually his real name?
No, I didn't know that.
His name, that's his stage name. I think his name is Jimmy, but Nail, he became known as The Nail because when he was working, he stood on a nail.
There you go.
Fun fact. Yep. Favourite Jimmy Nail song?
I just don't know who he is.
What?
Get out. This is why we need to start this Spotify playlist thing more. You would be educated by now.
I don't know what Spotify is.
One of my high points of Jimmy Nail's career was his role as Magaldi in the musical Evita.
Yes, you see, I have a Amazon Music playlist at home, but it's Jimmy Nail, and that quite often songs from that pop into his more popular back catalogue of early 90s dad rock.
Yes.
Crocodile Shoes is the correct answer you were looking for before, Sam. A song about a man in his crocodile shoes. That's, you know, he cornered the market in Geordie country, really.
I like Alan Shearer, he's Geordie.
Yes. Right, glossing over. Katie, how's your week been?
Been good. It's been good. Been busy.
Always busy in distribution.
It is. We're looking for new distributors as well.
For the Courier?
Yeah. So if you want to get out distributing the Courier, then please get in touch with me.
Your dad does it, doesn't he?
He does, but he's on holiday.
Oh, heck.
And guess who's stuck doing the round?
Love doing the round.
Of course. I love doing it, but you know.
Yeah.
I'm busy tonight.
Have you got your own trolley?
I've got a little orange trolley.
Does every distributor get a trolley?
Every distributor gets a trolley.
Wow, that sounds very
You're
going to
spam a lot tonight, aren't you?
I'm going to spam a lot.
Really excited.
I'm very excited, yeah.
So will we have a review from you two next week on that? Are you both
Yeah, sure.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Theatre reviews.
Oh, we should.
You should maybe do it there tonight after just some on-the-spot reaction from the Gaiety.
Yeah.
How's your week been, Sam?
Yeah, it's been all right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Been there and about.
There and about?
Yeah. Bit of a disappointing result in Barcelona this week, but I'm nearly over it.
I didn't realise you were playing.
Yeah.
That's probably where they went wrong.
You saw me go off early, quite injured actually. It was Nabi Keita.
Okay.
It's my stage name.
Oh, fair enough, like Jimmy Nail.
Yeah.
Right, kicking off this week's news, we're going to start with a story, which I think is quite impressive, about the new Japanese emperor, Naruhito, isn't it? I think I've said that correctly. Jess would, of course, have got that bob on, because as we know, she pronounces things correctly all the time. About a visit to the Isle of Man as an undergraduate from Oxford, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was given a tour of Timor by Robert Quayle, his former clerk, who got in contact this week after Emperor Naruhito ascended to the throne, mm-hmm. as you call it, after his father Akihito abdicated.
Oh.
But I found out a lot about abdication in Japan this week. It's not like in Britain. So in Britain, you know, like the Queen, it's in a sense, right, the Queen can't make political statements, same in Japan. But in Japan, they can't abdicate because it's seen as a political statement.
Right.
So he couldn't even say he was ill. You have to request to abdicate, but he couldn't even say, I'm old and tired, I want to go.
Right.
Because that is making a political statement. So he had to tell the Japanese Prime Minister without telling him.
So how do you tell someone that you're old and tired without saying you're old and tired?
I don't know. I mean, it's very sort of yes, Prime Minister, isn't it? You know, it's telling people without telling them things that
so
you can tell them.
He's like pointing at things on his body going,
I don't know.
Not working anymore.
But that's how it works, isn't it? You have to have permission to abdicate, and you had to.
This is the first time this has happened, isn't it, in a few centuries?
Yeah, it's. I mean, last emperor was before the previous one was Hirohito.
Right. I'm impressed with your knowledge of Japanese emperors, I must say, Sam.
Well, I mean, he was from the war, so
right.
It was.
Oh wow! So he had a big innings.
Well, that was nearly the end of the monarchy, as it would be in Japan at the time, because it was the first time they accepted that they weren't divine characters.
So, just going, this is, I'd say, a peak local news story, this.
I think it's fantastic.
New Japanese emperor visits Isle of Man once.
Mm-hmm.
character reference from Mr. Quayle was quite... He said he was a nice chap, didn't he?
He was a nice man who had an interest in the history of Tim Ward and the Manx Constitution.
Right. Oh, there you go. Fun fact, maybe one of those pub quizzes, Katie.
I remember that.
Interestingly enough, actually, if you read The Independent this week, there was another big discussion about the Manx Constitution. Spent it over a whole page after the Positive Action Group this meeting.
Okay.
This meeting. There was Advocate Paul Beckett was there, and a few people from Jersey and Lecturer from Oxford Brooks was there as well. So it's actually a really good read, actually.
So they're both those stories in The Independent,
yes. Yes.
Yeah, so if you want to learn about the Japanese Emperor's fleeting visit to the Isle of Man, it was, what year, 1989, something like that?
Possibly.
Might have seen him, we were alive.
Well, yeah, some of us were.
I was 1 year old.
He was here some point in the past, before he's become emperor.
We should extend an invitation.
Did you meet...
Do you think he'll come on the podcast?
Emperor Naruto, tell us your stories of your encounters.
Or, if this reaches Japan, come and see us.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it?
We could find a guest space in the corner. That'd be really good.
Well, maybe, I reckon producer Emma, because she's a bit of a whiz, could probably get a Skype interview set up and we could do it by that, so he doesn't have to come over.
We could be the first head of state that we have on our podcast.
And we could ask him what his favourite bits of the Isle of Man were. Yeah. Maybe he was a big fan of the wheel, Waxy Wheel. maybe he was a big fan of the Prospect Pub opposite Tynwald. Who knows?
Yeah.
It would be a very different pub if he visited now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's still the same, isn't it?
No, it's that Battleship Grey, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, inside's not changed that much. They've just taken it down a little.
They've taken all the separations of the booths out.
Yeah.
All of those have gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, if this Japan, please pass it on to the Emperor and extend a warm invitation to us.
So that's Emperor Naruhito. We'll give you our contact details later in the podcast if you want to get in touch. Next story, Sam, is about... Now, we've done a few stories on the podcast in recent weeks about how Manx people are doing their bit to preserve the environment. And this one is about plastic bottles, which is the bane of our modern-day existence, apparently. It's very in vogue, isn't it, how people are going to one bottle. I'm looking around our podcast studio. I say studio. It's a stationary cupboard. And there's one of those...
This is Jess's, actually. It's been here for a week.
Oh, right. Well, Jess has kindly left us a reusable water bottle. Segway's lovely. And you've got yours. Into this story that we've had this week about Ramsay Grammar, and they're trying to do away with plastic bottles. But there's a slight issue is they make £20,000 a year out of plastic bottle sales, which is unbelievable, isn't
it? I mean, this is Jess's story from the front page of The Examiner, and it was sort of one of them where we saw the figure and went, that can't be right.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous amount of money that... It goes back into the canteen, so it's generating money for the canteen, but the pupils at the school are wanting to cut them out, and that was when they found out how much the school actually makes that would have to be found from somewhere. They're seeing Chief Minister Howard Quayle, they're presenting a petition to him to ask him, if we cut these out for the sake of the planet, can the government provide that extra £20,000 so we're not affecting our school? Because it is an interesting balance, that, actually. You know, the whole idea that if the school is selling these plastic bottles and they're generating revenue from it, then... But the government is saying, oh, we should be going green. Well, if they want to go green, it's going to cost them money.
Yeah.
Which is going to impact on the school and impact on the students. And it's a strange thing that you could essentially be punished for going green.
Well, the facts are quite staggering around it. So there's about 860 kids, isn't it, at Ramsay Grammar? And they sell about 2,000 bottles a week of water.
Is that specifically of water, or is that any plastic bottle Coca-Cola?
They don't sell them in schools. And there's only water that's sold in schools.
Yeah, because of the sugar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they sell water and flavoured water.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they reckon they sell about 2,000 bottles of that a week, which is, I think, what did they say, 65p a pop? Which is an unbelievable figure, really. So did you guys, what did you guys drink at school? I remember I was a bit of a tango fiend back in the day when you were allowed an orange drink.
I drank a lot of tea at school.
Well, you still do?
Yeah.
Did you do it in a novelty pirate-shaped jug?
No, I used to go, harken back to that one. Oh. I need to go charity shopping.
2 weeks to payday.
I know. What was I going to say? I used to get tea from the garage over the road and then received detentions for going to the garage at break time when you weren't allowed.
What a way to get detention for going for a cup of tea.
Just a cup of tea.
Yeah, well, they had them in the sixth form block, but they were awful because it was like, you know like when you get that powdered milk and all that and it just comes out like a weird yellow colour?
Yeah, not the ones in the little...
Yeah, little horrendous paper cups.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had them, so...
Katie, what was your
water? I'm obsessed with water.
Did you
hydrate? Feel great. Always. And I think hot chocolates in sick form from the machine.
Yeah, they were,
because you got the machine in sick form.
Used to, yeah, they used to prop up many a person back in the day. So do you think, what do you think this maybe all goes island-wide if Ramsay Graham are the first to sort of get rid of bottles?
Well, I think Ramsay Graham deserve a lot of credit for coming out and saying it. Mm. I mean, you know, it really has brought the issue of what the other schools are doing. I mean, I know Jess is looking into this now about what all the other schools are raising and how many bottles they are selling. So the fact that Ramsay's sort of gone first, and they deserve a lot of credit for saying it, I think, and deserve a lot of credit for sticking their neck out and say, we want to change this because otherwise it's going to cost the school money.
What I will say is that I think they're currently discussing a deal, or a deal's already been done with Conister Bank. They're going to try and provide the school with each...
Yeah, they're going to get with the...
Reusable plastic bottle. Yeah. And it says it's going to be almost become part of the uniform. You have to have your bottle with you, and if you haven't, you'll be getting a detention or whatever. So,
which, to be honest with you, I don't agree with, but we don't need to go into that because we'll be here all day, me talking about police states. So...
I don't know, I think it's a good idea.
This is like the third time this week I've heard you go on a police state rant.
Yeah, well,
that's quite good. You should use about five by Friday.
Yeah.
Probably only spoke to him about three times this week.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, let's move on from police states to an unbelievable story. Did you see this in the Independence Day? Obviously, last week was the London Marathon on Sunday. It was all over the BBC's coverage. Stories of heroic efforts, people fundraising money for various charities and stuff. But there was obviously an abundance of Manx runners in it, as always, island-based runners. But this story is one of the most amazing I've heard. Have you seen this one, Kate? It's about Stephen Quayle, who's a fireman. So he broke his foot, unbeknown to him, after 8 miles. He stepped on a water bottle, a discarded plastic bottle.
Really? It was a plastic bottle?
Yeah.
Oh.
They do no good.
Nope.
So he broke his foot, twisted his hip, and tore his calf muscle at 8 miles, continued and finished 26 miles in under 4 hours. So we reckon that he still maintained about a 9-minute mile pace, which is more than I can do when I'm in fully fit.
Did he know he'd done damage, or did he think it was just like a pain he needed to work through?
He said he thought he'd done something.
Yeah.
But he felt, I'm doing this for hospice, Isle of Man, and he was doing it for another cause that he's, I think it's Positive Bones or something, he's an ambassador for.
Yeah.
So he wanted to keep going. He got all the way to 860 miles, couldn't really move, and then had physio. And then finished.
Oh, God.
And all in under 4 hours. I can't stress that's how impressive that is.
Did it after 8 miles?
Yeah.
I suppose you've just got to lose yourself in the moment at that point, haven't you?
His mental toughness. Right. He's a fireman, so he's obviously used to... I mean, he's obviously a fit guy as well, but I can't... It's just, having read that story, it's Adrian's story in the Independent page, this week's Independent. It's an unbelievable story.
It is the second most amazing London Marathon story of the week.
Go on.
The guy, the Big Ben guy.
Oh, what? and then
yeah. Did you not see this?
I'm sorry, I'm guy really ran, missing out on right, the London Marathon news.
So was I, to be honest. I was watching the snooker on BBC Two. But there was a guy ran the length of the marathon dressed as Big Ben, and when he got to the end, the clock tower was too high, so he kept banging into the finishing board.
Yeah.
So they had to get like 3 guys out to tilt him over so he could go through at an angle.
And then he sort of popped out the bottom of it.
Yeah. So then they took it off him, and he was like going, "Oh, I'm out." He went to the pub, left it outside, and somebody nicked it.
Oh, yeah. I bet he rented it as well.
But he's got
someone nicked it, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was on CNN, and it's got like all around the world, this sort of story now. But he's raised a lot of money for his charity.
Should you say, as I said, Stephen Quayle, who's the guy that broke his foot, is raising money for hospice, and I think he's raised over £1,000 on his Just Giving page. So
I just can't
comprehend. Yeah, I haven't broken his foot.
If you're going to give money to anything, you should give money to that, because...
Yeah,
I wouldn't get to 8 miles. I'd get.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a really worth read. So that's in this week's Manx Independent. Right, sticking with sport, but we're moving slightly onto two wheels. Moving slightly, you are moving onto two wheels. It's the youth tour around the Isle of Man this week, which, you know, if you're sees the upcoming talent in British cycling comes to the island. Of course, I think there's a few cyclists from the near continent as well, Dutch and Belgian lads. Starts tonight, Thursday. There's around the Groudel area, usually on the Prom, but of course the Prom is sort of in turmoil.
It's far nicer area to ride the Groudel area as well, isn't it?
But it
different
means
challenge.
That there is a closed road, so from 5:45, I think King Eddie Roads is shut. So if you look on the back of the Manx Independent this week. There's all the road closures there. And then they move to Ellerslie tomorrow, and then Sunday they're in Castletown around the Blount circuit. But yeah, if you want to see the next Mark Cavendish and Peter Kenyuk's and Mark Christians of this world, and a Christian, all our great talent of cyclists we've got, if you want to see the next generation, then they will be around the island this weekend as well, worth getting out and having a look. So this week in history, we go back precisely 11 years to Friday, May the 2nd, although it is Friday, May the 3rd today, so almost precisely.
Yeah, well done.
And this week, that week's, sorry, Manx Independent, two stories on the front page, one about sandbarks and one about smoking. I'll leave it to you to take up the story.
I've taken up the habit, so I may as well take up the story.
Boom.
John, I think I'll start with sandbarks.
Okay.
This is, of course, when sandbarks was doing the I'd Do Anything contest.
The reality TV show that gripped a nation.
Well, I mean, you look at it. I was thinking about this the other day. I can't remember anybody else who did that show. Because it was Lee Mead won the...
The Joseph,
Joseph one.
They did one that was for Sound of Music, didn't they?
Yeah, that was...
Didn't they... Oh, wait,
was that Connie something won that?
Yeah, she did. She was fairly big for a little bit.
Yeah, if you look at Sam Box, I mean, she's a leading lady on
Broadway.
Broadway, like, you know, so she's...
And not the one in Douglas.
No. And, you know, she was in Les Mis with Russell Crowe.
Les Mis, yeah. Yeah, she
and,
was.
You know, so she's become an absolute superstar from this. So, of course, appropriately in 2008, while this was... The nation was gripped, the Isle of Man changed its name to something which I think it should do again in...
This is like when we were trying to get them to put your picture on the new, possibly new... What do you call it?
The breakwater. New breakwater, yeah. Well, I think this is time that we just accept the inevitable and go with the Isle of Sam.
Yes, and the picture of then Tourism Minister Adrian Earnshaw with one of our posters, the Manx Independent Vote Sam posters, and a banner which says, Welcome to the Isle of Sam.
Yeah, which if you remember, it was hung along the front of the Villa Marina at the time.
Was it?
Well, I remember that, yeah, it was all along the front.
I do remember being vaguely piqued by the interest being piqued by the whole Isle of Sam movement, but see, there's someone, I presume, from BBC, is it, taking a video of Adrian for that week's episode of the, what was it called?
I'd Do Anything.
Yeah, because it was for Cameron McIntosh production, and it was fronted by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who was...
He was one of the guests,
wasn't he? By that point.
Yeah.
Well, he was the main host of it, because McIntosh was too busy.
Yeah.
So he hosted it, and then he sort of picked the winner, but then, of course, from that, McIntosh has put her in Les Mis, put her in his films...
She's done alright, hasn't she?
Oh, she's done alright, yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. So the other story?
The other story was something which I completely agree with prisoners on doing. They took up a hunger strike when the smoking ban came in.
Right, so you would forego food just to keep smoking? That is essentially what you've just endorsed in that there.
Yeah, I think that basically...
No more pies.
They took away their...
No more... Would you allow yourself tea, or would you go proper hardcore?
No, tea. You'd have to have tea.
Yeah.
No
more biscuits.
Ooh.
No more sandwiches. No more bowls of soup.
You're making me hungry again. Calm down.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it was the smoking ban come into the workplace, and they enforced it on the prisoners, really, which I didn't really see the point of, because they could have let them go outside.
Well, if you actually read the full article, it says that they said it was troublesome to then, I mean, police the smoking in the open.
Yeah, but then look at it. I mean, what was it now, 10, 11 years later, and they finally put the e-cigarettes in, because they've admitted that they lost control over tobacco being taken into the prison.
Right.
That was in Victoria Road, now in Jerby, and they lost control of it.
Okay.
So they had to introduce electric smoking. So this was an 11-year struggle, which these prisoners proudly took up.
Well, you see, it says up to 16 out of 32 inmates on a wing reported to...
That's on A wing.
On A wing.
Not A wing, but A wing.
A wing, sorry, I see what you're saying. Reported to be refused to be eating. What I can see that the cost to provide the prisoners with a nicotine replacement therapy was £20,000 a year, which is unbelievable, really.
Well, I quit smoking. I just quit. Got really sick for a while and then thought, I don't want to go through that again.
Yes, so the... So you think it was justified?
I think it was justified there. I support anyone who tries to stand up to the machine. So I think.
But well, do you not think they're in prison? They've foregone maybe the right to smoke?
Well, look at Victoria Road. That was a miserable building.
Yeah.
At very least, you should have been allowed to smoke there.
But, well, I don't know. I would say, well, unfortunately, this is one of the things. If you break the law, you get... Your chance to smoke goes out the window, quite literally.
Let's not go down the road of breaking the law and going to prison, but we can ignore that for now if you want.
Katie, what do you think on this?
I kind of agree with you on that. I mean, you're going to lose various freedoms and liberties when you go to prison for breaking the law, so maybe, you know, smoking is kind of privilege. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you say.
Try paying for it.
And they would say here, but the Isle of Man was apparently the first prison in the UK to introduce a smoking ban,
mm-hmm.
which, again, pioneering as always. There's people, various prisoners quoted within the story. Some of them have smoking since the ages of 10 and 13.
Hmm?
When did you start smoking, Sam?
I'm just thinking to my mother listen to this. I should be right. About 18.
Well, that's fine.
When I went to uni, I'll go with that, because I lived with 5 smokers in a 6 people flat.
Well, I think that's fine. If you're that old, you're making your own decision. But 10 and 13?
I was 19, and I remember I took up smoking when I was in the Balkans, because there'd be small children selling cigarettes in bars, and I don't know why, but that's when I started smoking.
So you started smoking out of social embarrassment.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, to quote the thick of it, I sometimes buy like magazines in the street because of social embarrassment. I don't buy cigarettes off small children.
Also, they were like 10 cents at that point. Mm. It was you know, the cheapest thing in the world.
Like when somebody goes off to Spain and comes back with a load of duty free, and you're just like, yeah, go on, I'm with you.
Right, moving on, we're going to look at the advert on the front page of The Independent that week, which is for the Sony Ericsson K70i, a cyber shot. Now, did anyone have this phone? Because I don't remember, your hand has gone, I don't remember.
You put your hand up.
I don't remember that phone
being that phone, it was awful.
Was the smooth picture as perfection as advertised?
It was good for its time.
Did it come with £6 credit?
Which is a very random number, isn't it?
£6.
Now only £99, including £6 credit. I don't know why nine. But not,
that was on page ago.
£6. But why six? That's the point, isn't it? But yeah, it was a pretty awful phone because you had to like sort of scroll about, and then the button in the centre was what you pressed.
Best and worst phone you've had.
Best phone ever. To be honest, my new iPhone.
iPhone, okay.
The Sony Ericsson W810i was the best phone I ever had.
Worst.
Motorola V3 Razor.
Was that the flip?
Yeah.
Oh, that looked cool.
Yeah, they did look cool. Because do you remember, have you ever seen the film Departed?
Yeah.
You know, everybody in it has flip phones.
Yeah.
And it's just like how cool they were. And now they're just sort of like, you look at somebody with a flip phone now, you're like, nah, I don't know.
Worst phone?
My worst phone was one I bought in Argentina, which was an LG, and it was red and white, and the only thing you could do on it was compose ringtones. So
that was very big back in the day.
Me and my flatmate would drink some wine, make some ringtones, some nice evenings.
Are you the crazy frog? please do let us know what your worst and best mobile phones were at IMN News Podcast, and we'll give them a mention next week.
What was yours?
I've been a Samsung fan I had a HTC. Back in the day, they were pretty. No,
I had one for a little while. Weren't they like the first smartphones?
Yeah, that wasn't great. But my Samsung's touch wood have always been pretty bulletproof and idiot proof. So
wasn't fireproof one of the big problems they had?
Yes, in certain models, but we'll glass over that.
I had a Nokia once, a Nokia Lumia, and I dropped an iPad and a Nokia Lumia into a full bucket full of water for various reasons. And the iPad broke instantly. The Nokia Lumia had another 2 years left on
it. It was the one which had the snake on it. Do you remember you used to be able to take the back off and put like a... You used to be able to put your own back on.
I had a 3210 and it had like a Tigger.
I think that's the one I'm talking about, yeah.
3210.
And they were fantastic because you had Snake, which is still the best game ever made for a phone.
I think my dad's still got a 6410. You know the one that's like the bigger, like businessmen used to have back in the day?
Yeah. Like proper Dell boy.
Yeah, that. But it charges for like weeks. He charges it and still.
That's the phone you want at like a music festival.
That was always
the holiday.
Nokia's, wasn't it? Like, you know, iPhones die after like a day.
Yeah.
And then like you get these ones, you charge them for like 5 hours, and then that'd be it for the next 2 months.
I think we could generally introduce a segment to the podcast where we review mobile phones. So if Shaw, Manx, Telegram are listening, you know where we are. Hit us up.
I mean, if we're doing that, if Jackson's are listening and want to review in cars.
Well, that's another story. the old Renault.
No,
we won't talk about it. We talked about it last week.
Poor girl's on her way out.
Oh dear. Is that where the flags are half-mast outside?
Yeah. It was nice of Raj to do that for me.
It was. Right, Katie, word of the week. Manx, word of the week.
Okay, so last week, I've got some Manx information for you here.
Okay.
Because last week's word was menra, which means happy.
Yeah, well, it sounds a little bit like someone from the Thundercats.
Yes. So, basically, if you want to say, I'm happy, it's Tammy Mendra.
Tammy Mendra?
Yep.
Okay.
And if you want to ask someone if they're happy, yeah. Velu Mendra?
Okay.
No, Hanel.
So Hanel is no?
Hanel is no.
Don't they make bags and perfumes and stuff?
Hanel, yes, they yeah. do.
Chanel.
The wife's got one there. Tammy Trimshaw?
Yep, yeah. Tammy Trimshaw.
I am sad.
I'm sad.
Oh. Velu Minery.
Velu Mendra.
They should re-record it. Happy by Pharrell Williams, because it's Pharrell Williams that works at the planning office. We could get him to sing it in Manx.
There's a Michael Jordan as well who works at the people who design our news bills.
This could be a new feature.
I went to school with a guy called Sam Lewis Jackson. He was Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
We could do it. We could do a feature. Names alike, because there's Will Smith.
Yeah.
Who used to be brand manager, not the former Hollywood
Friends
actor.
Of Friends. They've got a friend called John Hurt.
Ooh.
And, oh, it's another famous John. They only have famous brand names. Oh, John Barnes.
John Barnes. Oh, old school. There's a Michael Jackson that does trials riding, and there's a sidecar TT racer as well. There's loads of... We should get them in and maybe dress them in that a person's clothes.
I'm sure they'll love that.
They'll love that. If you want to see this as a feature, please do get in touch with us on social media. Right, so what's this week's word, Casey?
Okay, I thought maybe you could try and pronounce it. I've given you some advice.
Right, so I'm going to say the tasting notes are kind of sounds like balding, or someone with a Scottish accent saying balding.
Yes.
Balden.
Yes, balden. Like that. That's how balden. It sounds.
Aye. He's called Balden.
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 Balden. Yep.
It's like Alex Balden.
Like who?
Alec Balden.
God. This is descending into chaos. Right, let's hear what the Culture Van and boys have to say about this.
Balden.
Yes, I can see what you're saying there. That's sort of... Yes, vaguely Scottish.
I thought I was quite close.
You were close, less Germanic than usual, which is always a nice thing.
Yeah, a lot less aggression.
Yeah. You're mellowing as the year goes on.
It's because Jess isn't here.
You're aggravated by her mispronunciation.
By her happy presence.
Yeah, there's too much happiness usually in the room, so I'd normally have to level it out. I mean, we like to be, an even and balanced
men, as we say in the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Right, that's it for this week's podcast. Sam and Casey, you're both off to Spam a Lot this week, which we'll hear about next week. Anything else happening news-wise, Sam?
I've got a interesting piece, actually, about... I'm back on the horse trams again.
Quite literally.
I always end up back on the horse trams. But no, this is an interesting one. It's about how much we paid for the new track. And it's going to surprise you how much we actually paid for it.
Okay.
So,
like, good surprise or bad surprise? I'm going to guess bad surprise.
And is it in the Examiner?
It will be in the Examiner, yeah.
So we want to find out how much we've paid for the... Well, as a taxpayer, we've paid for this new all singing, all dancing...
Mm. Yeah, since I've started paying tax, I've started to get very agitated about how much money the company is spending.
Tram track.
Yeah.
Which is still not open yet?
Nope.
We're hopefully open soon. I hope you will be going on the first tram of the season.
Well, I went on the first mountain tram of the season.
Well, you've got to keep
it
up.
So I think, I should probably try and do that.
Casey, much happening with you this coming week?
Yeah, we've actually got a feature out on May the 16th in the Manx Independent called Go Green.
Go Green, okay.
Which you may have heard about in the
office.
Links
it lovely to our plastic
exactly,
bottles.
Exactly, yeah. So this feature is going to have case studies, and they include school children and adults' organisations. It's going to be tips on sustainability. There's going to be a readers being sustainable and green on the island. So if anyone has any photos of them recycling, or maybe not using plastics, or I don't know, other green things that you do, if you actually send them in to us, they might feature in the photo section. So the deadline for that is the 8th of May. Go to the Instagram or Twitter at IOM News Podcast, or you could email emma.mann at iomtoday.co.im.
And that's man with two N's.
Yes, man with two N's.
Just on Raoul.
She'll
that,
be
on
happy
the,
for all them photos.
On the green and sustainability. Make sure you check out the Courier this week. We've got a message from Her Majesty.
Her Majesty?
Her Majesty.
I've
the
heard
Lord
about
of Man
this.
Has been back in contact with...
I heard about this as well.
Our resident beach cleaner, Dale.
He was in the office today looking very smart.
Yeah.
I can confirm.
When you correspond with Her Majesty, you have to dress for the occasion. At any moment, she could appear.
So, well, wow. That was a bit Queen's Nose, but there we go. there's a cultural reference for your kids.
I was about to say, does Sam get that reference?
No. If I got a 50p out and started rubbing it furiously, I'm sure you would get that. No, still a blank look. right, so if there's been if people have heard the podcast this week, Kate, and the stories have piqued their interest, if they want to get a digital copy, because they say they can't get out to the shops, are they going to do that?
Yep, if you go to www.iomtoday.co.im and click on the digital editions tab at the top of the page, and if you need any help with getting digital editions, you can call us on 695-695.
Right, that's it for this week. Do remember, if you want to get in touch, we're on Instagram and Twitter's at IOM News Podcast. And I think that's about it. So until next week.
Bye for now.